is up, everybody? Welcome to Student Visa. This is the podcast for the curious and the adventurous, those who want to experience something more. My name is Rob Salasky, and I would like to give you a huge thank you for listening. Whether you are planning to study abroad yourself, want tips for your next big trip, or are just looking to learn about an exciting new place during your daily commute, I know this podcast has something for you. In this episode, I'm going to sit down with my homie, Mason, who is also the first American on this show. And we're going to talk about Tamborada, a festival in San Sebastian that was quite a unique experience. Like I mentioned last week, be sure to reach out and let me know what you want to hear in future episodes. We've been kind of alternating between personal stories, such as this episode, and more objective information, such as the last episode. So let us know what you want to hear. With that, enjoy this week's episode of Student Visa. Mason, my dude. All right, Mason, tell everybody where you're from and who you are in a nutshell.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't know exactly what you want to know about me, but so I'm from Kerrville, Texas, originally. Lived there my whole life, and then I'm from Austin right now. I go to UT Austin, and there I'm studying marketing and getting a certificate in digital arts and media as well, hoping to work in advertising after graduation, but we'll see how that works out. And yeah, at UT, I'm a member of a club called Teos Club. It's a really, really sick club. Shout out to them. And I'm a member of the wakeboarding team, nice. Which is where I spend a lot of my off time, like all sorts of water sports, things like that. And now I'm in Spain.
Yeah. So what brought you to Spain? What brought you on exchange and specifically Pamplona?
Yeah. So, I wanted to do exchange ever since I was 16 years old, I believe. I was sitting there thinking about it in high school because I was originally going to take a gap year until I realized that I not have enough money to try and fund a gap year. That went out the window. But I just really wanted to get to Europe because, like I said, I've lived in like Texas all my life, and I kind of wanted to see, you know, what was out there besides Texas. I think there's probably some more interesting viewpoints than you can find somewhere like Kerrville or Austin. And so I wanted to go to Europe, and obviously I wanted to go somewhere where I could at least speak some of the language. And in high school, I took like 5 years of Spanish. So I just figured Spain would be the place. But then I was originally going to try like Barcelona, Madrid, cities like that. Right. But talking to my friends who studied abroad there, they were saying they had a great time, but basically all their stories were about them living with other Americans, going out with other Americans. Like, yeah, it was basically like being a tourist for like 6 months. Not so much like really getting to know a bunch of like the culture and heritage and things like that. And so I wanted to get a more hands-on, I guess, feel, and talk to my counselor about that. And they recommended Pamplona just because it's smaller and, you know, you're going to be talking to people a lot more and things like that. And it worked out really well because I'm living with two Spanish roommates right now, instead of, you know, just kind of staying in the same bubble, which has been really cool. So.
Nice, man. All right. So if it was a while back now where we went to Tamborada, the Festival of the Drums in San Sebastian, was that like our first weekend?
It had to be.
I think it was the weekend after the first.
Yeah, it was like second or third. I swear. Oh, it was really early on though. You're right.
Yeah, it feels like it was quite a while ago now.
Yeah. Cause I had no idea what I was doing yet. Yeah. that's how I, figure out around what part of my study abroad experience my memories were in was how comfortable I felt at that moment. And I was like, I still had no idea what was happening.
Yeah. So how did you hear about Tamborada and what made you do it and all that? Because just go and then I'll tell you what I have.
I don't know how I honestly want to say I heard about it from you or someone else just sending a message in like one of the groups we were in. Yeah. So I didn't even know about it beforehand. And then someone said, hey, there's this really cool festival happening this weekend in San Sebastian. Like, mm-hmm. we should look at it. And then I started looking things up about it and things like that. But I think I was actually led to it by other Erasmus students.
Yeah, that same deal for me. And it probably could have been the same group chat where like Rachel sent something out, like there's this festival.
Yeah, something like that.
But I remember hearing about
there's this festival, it's about drums. And then I asked some like Spanish people about it and they said, yeah, it's a ton of fun. But then we find this way to get up there offered through some kind of random service where they're like, hey, for 30 euros, we will get you on a bus to San Sebastian, back from San Sebastian. We'll get you dinner while you're up there, VIP entrance into a club that we thought was for free. And then here's the curveball, a entire bottle of Fireball.
Yeah, it was organized.
What on earth was that all about? But
no, you know, it had to be weird when it was organized by one of the clubs. Because I'd gone, yeah. It was the same club we went to that first Wednesday, and then come back a week later, and the same club is like, hey, come get on our bus, and we're going to take you somewhere else and get you black out there. And for some reason, I thought that was a good idea.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was wild. Yeah, I remember talking to my roommates about it when I first heard about it as well, because I really wasn't sure what to expect. I was like, there's this club. They want to bus us to San Sebastian and give us a bottle of Fireball and just let us loose into this festival. Like, what's going on? And I was talking to my roommates. Because the first bus left here at what, like 9 p.m.?
Yeah, I think
8 p.m., something like that.
Left around like, 8.
Around 8. And then the second bus comes back at 6 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So I was talking to my roommates. I was like, how does that work? Like, are you supposed to like stay and then wake up early? Or like, what are you supposed to do? And they just looked at me and they just go, you don't sleep. You don't sleep. Yeah. It's Tamburata. You do not sleep.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that Empujada deal was weird. But
it was definitely a little weird, and I was super hesitant, but once we had a group of people that was all down for it, and it was by far the most economical
super cheap, like, honestly,
way to get up there, and we had a guaranteed dinner and stuff, which honestly everything turned out to be disappointing that we paid for. Like, the festival itself was awesome, but like dinner was kind of garbage. It was like, oh, you know, old loaf of bread with some eggs thrown in there, and like a bottle of Fireball is never a good idea. So
never a good idea.
I think
we
both ditched that pretty quickly.
Yeah, I donated mine to some guy on the beach.
Donated. Write that down in your taxes.
Yeah.
But so we finally got there. It was, you know, kind of a cool bus ride, I guess. We were all getting to know people, but it was also super mellow because nobody had the Fireball yet. So we were just kind of like, at least I was very nervously waiting. Like, I don't know what's about to happen at this festival. But we got there and we jumped off pretty much in the middle of San Sebastian and walked like about 15 minutes over to Playa Concha. Right? That's how you say it?
Yeah.
Dude, what were your thoughts? Because I personally think San Sebastian is one of the coolest cities.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, it was really, it honestly took me really by surprise. It was one of those places where I'd seen some pictures of it before, but I'd always thought it was kind of the thing where, you know, you see pictures of these like European cities and stuff like that, and you're like, okay, like that looks amazing, but like it's the perfect angle, or like it's the perfect time of day. Right. This is an edited picture, you know, like something that it's like people, good photographers can make pictures look better than things actually look in real life.
Exactly.
Like, San Sebastian is one of the first places I've been in my life where like I walked up and it looked exactly like everything I'd seen. Like it
was
absolutely
amazing.
I mean, I've been back 3 times already, like during the day, just to like hang out at the beach and stuff like that, because like it really like has blown me away as a city. I absolutely love it.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks like you're walking in a postcard.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like they have the Ferris wheel set up, and like there's the beach and the weird kind of tunnel thing between the beach and the street where people could just kind of hang out. And I don't know, it was all so, and like the city right on the edge of the beach. It was so cool. So I was loving just the city itself. But then we, after checking out the beach, headed over for some pinchos. And everyone told us the food in San Sebastian is the best. But I think we talked about it on the way up there. Like, that's what they say about every city in Spain. Like, they say, go to Barcelona, the food's the best. Go to Madrid, the food's the best. Pamplona, the food's the best. And we're like, wait a minute. We've heard this too many times. Is the food actually the best in San Sebastian?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure every town in Spain thinks that they have the best pinchos, to be fair.
Yeah.
But
I agree.
Someone told me the other day that Logroño had the best pinchos, and I was like, are you sure? Well, positive?
Yeah, go talk to San Sebastian, because they legitimately, as an outside perspective, had some amazing food.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so yeah, so we leave the beach, And what Hiroki, he had been there before. So he's a Japanese student that has been studying here for a semester already.
Oh, yeah. He did kind of lead the charge on that.
Yeah, yeah. So he had already been to San Sebastian a few times. So he's like, all right, I'm going to take you to a really cool bar that has some of the best pinchos in San Sebastian. Like, trust me, it's going to be amazing. We're like, all right. And so we go into the city and it's just packed, yeah. Like shoulder to shoulder. Yeah. Like you cannot, like, I'm pretty sure I was holding onto Hiroki's hand just so he could like lead me through the street, like some 4-year-old behind his mother. And he leads us through all these like twisty, turny streets to a bar called Bar Sport.
Is that which, really what it was called?
Yeah, I thought it was the most anticlimactic thing in the world. I honestly lost all faith in him for like 2 seconds. I was like, are you... You took us past all these like Spanish bars and took us to a bar called Bar Sport. Like, all
right, Hiroki.
But yeah, no, it was amazing. We walked in and immediately there was these 2 old Spanish guys. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
On the end of the bar that just, I don't know, they saw Hiroki and they, I guess they just saw a Japanese kid speaking Spanish and like lost their minds and thought he was like the coolest person in the world and like took us under their wing, told us what to start ordering and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of bizarre. And not only telling us what to order, but like literally spooning this pincho that came out of a crab shell, spooning it into Hiroki and I's mouth. It was like kind of an uncomfortable situation, but I was like, you know what? I'm just rolling with it, you know? We're in Spain, we're in San Sebastian, let's do this.
Yeah. And so we hung up there for a bit, we had a few rounds, and then I ended up getting the last round there for everybody. Got a round of pinchos and beers or wines. No, we were drinking wine because we were trying to be better cultured, study abroad students and drink more Spanish wine. And I tried to pay the bartender after we got all our food. Like I held out the bill for him and the guy just sitting at the bar next to me just like nudged me. And he was like, hey, like here, like they don't just wait till you leave and then pay them. They want you to keep ordering until you're ready to go and then you can just pay it all in total. That way you're not paying like every 5 minutes. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And so I started talking to this guy and just like being like, yeah, so like, what are you doing here and everything? And it turns out that this guy was a chef for one of the resorts in San Sebastian and a food tour guide, which I didn't know that existed.
But yeah, his what entire a jackpot. Job.
Yeah.
What a jackpot. That was so cool when you met him and started talking to him. So, yeah, I guess from there on, he kind of led the charge and took us around, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, he was just, I was talking to him and I asked him if, like, he had any places to recommend, anything like that. And he was like, well, I'm going to be bar hopping alone for the next, like, hour or so if y'all just want to come with. And I was like, of course, like, I'm not going to say no.
Absolutely.
No, I think I can do better on my own. Like, yeah. So I went with him. Oh, man. So the first bar he took us to, I don't remember. It's all a blur, honestly. He took us, like, 5 different places. I just remember the first one specifically. Because we walked in and they had a picture behind their bar of Sir Ian McKellen like pouring drinks for people at the bar. And I was like, okay, this place has got to be like at least pretty legit. Like at least he's not scamming us. This is a real, you know. But yeah, we got some like anchovies. Ooh, and he showed us that wine. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the highlight for me. I was going to ask you, what was your standout pincho and drink? And yeah, we'll talk about it.
The wine was definitely the best. So it was this wine. It was white wine that they make, I guess, up in that same region, up in the coastal area. And the thought behind it is that the wind from the sea is supposed to come in and bring like the saltiness of the sea into the grapes.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about wine. I don't know if that works or not. But basically, it was just like a slightly salty white wine that like paired really, really well with seafood. Yeah. And like that was definitely best drink I've ever made. That was so good.
I love that so much. And yeah, I'm definitely not a wine connoisseur by any means. Like, you put any wine in my hand, and I'll just be able to tell you, like, if it's white or if it's red. But no, this definitely tasted distinct, and it was so tasty.
Oh, man, it was good. So
and good. Then, yeah, it was with the anchovy.
Yeah, the anchovy.
Which I wasn't so sure about anchovies, because you don't really eat anchovies.
No, I've never had an anchovy in my life that was a pleasant experience, like up until that night. Like I've never once been happy about the fact that I just ate an anchovy.
until
that night. Yeah.
Yeah. I can pretty much agree with you, except my only real experience with anchovies is going to be in Caesar salad dressing. Like I've never had solid, like by itself anchovy.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Cause that's
that.
Gross.
Like, yeah. It's pretty gross.
Unless you're in Spain, apparently. So yeah, that was the highlight of the night for me, that single pincho and wine was unreal. So yeah, we met that the food guide and chef. Like, what are the odds you meet somebody with that type of?
No, that was so lucky. I still have his number, which is really nice. If we ever go back to San Sebastian, we can hit him up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, that was super lucky. I just remember it was super funny because we went to like 3 or 4 different bars, right? And then he kept asking us, like, what do you like? Like, you like meat, you like seafood, you like this. And we're like, dude, you literally do this for a living. Like, you show us around. Like, we're not going to tell you anything. But eventually he was like, all right, I'm going to get you all some really good steak. We're like, all right, sweet. Oh, like, we're going to get some really good steak. Yeah, so we go to this bar. And he ordered us like everything, you know, like we never had to order a damn thing. He did everything for us. And so he ordered us these pinchos. They came out with bread. It was just pieces of like super tender steak on bread, and like bought us a bottle of red wine to like split with the table and stuff. And so we're like sitting there, like drinking the super nice wine, like eating the super fancy steak. And like, we look around and I suddenly realized that all of the Erasmus students are here. And like, that was the place we were supposed to eat dinner. Yeah. And they have all those nasty ass egg sandwiches. Yeah. And they were so pissed at us because we're sitting there with this dude, like eating steak and red wine and stuff.
I had kind of forgot about that. We just ended up at that random spot that we were supposed to have dinner. And then we had to fight just to show them this coupon for this loaf of bread.
Honestly, I don't even know. He must have known someone there because there was a line out the door there, and he just like walked in 5 minutes later, came back with steak and wine. And oh, it's just,
maybe he just is familiar to the bartenders. So they take care of him. But yeah, that was the last stop for the pinchos and, you know, our unfortunate egg sandwich. But after that, we made our way over to maybe we went to one bar and then.
Yeah, we got mojitos.
Oh, that's remember? Right.
Mojitos. Mojitos with moms.
Yeah. And then we eventually made our way to the festival, which started at midnight. That was about the only thing I knew about this festival. Is it starts at midnight and it's got drums. We show up to the plaza. I think it was called Plaza de Constitución. It was jam-packed, and we got there quite a few minutes early, right?
Yeah, we got there about half an hour early, honestly. The bar we were at earlier had like a live feed of the plaza, so we were watching it, and then like the second it started filling up to like the sides where we couldn't see, we're like, all right, we have to go now so we can get like a good spot. And which we did. Like, we, I don't know how we worked that out, but we like ended up squeezing like the five of us like right like in front of that little stage.
We did.
Really nice.
Yeah, we had a good view. You guys will see some pictures posted below on the website, so make sure to check that out. Not super high quality. It seemed like there was some mist on the lens of my GoPro, but some pictures to give you an idea of what it was. But we did find ourselves in a pretty good spot and waited around for the clock to strike midnight. And then when it did, it was like, after that, it was just like the strangest thing. Like, I could have never predicted what Tamborada was like. It was
absolutely nuts. Yeah, I know. I can't even. It was. I don't even know. I mean, I'm trying to like put it into words.
When I walked away, I was like, okay, Tamborada is when a bunch of bakers from the Basque Country had a dance off, or like a drum off, some sort of like musical showdown with a bunch of French soldiers, because we saw like half of the stage was all the dudes with the, you know, baker hats on, and then they were drumming, and then the other half were people dressed in like their full soldier get up, but like from Napoleon times. And so that's all I could gather. And then it got even more confusing when everyone started singing along on some of the songs. And, you know, yeah, we were drinking. Yeah, I'm not the best Spanish speaker, especially at that time. I feel like I've gotten better since then. But I couldn't understand a single word that was being sung. And then it occurred to me that all of these lyrics are in Basque.
Yeah.
So they were showing them on the projector, like way above that little building or whatever, above a stage. And we see like X's and T's and all these weird looking words that I had no idea what they were, and it's Basque, which turns out to be one of the most difficult languages to learn on planet Earth because it's not related to anything.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
No, I remember that too, because I remember we were talking to a group of Spanish girls there. We were like, it's like, what's about to happen? And they're like, oh, like, don't worry. Like, it'll be easy. They're going to project the lyrics. up on like top of the building and everything. And I was like, sweet, I can read Spanish, no problem. Like, this is going to be fun. And like they start and I look up and it's literally, yeah, like you said, all I see are T's and X's. Like it's not comprehensible at all. I have no idea, like to this day, what I was singing, but it was a lot of, it was a lot of fun, but the dancing was the craziest thing. So the entire square of people somehow like knew all of these like coordinated dances. Yeah. So like the people on stage would like go to the right or something and the entire crowd would just shift like in unison to the right, or everyone would shoot to the front. I'm pretty sure there's like multiple times during the night when my feet were not actually touching the ground and I was just being like pushed and held up by all the people around me as I like made my way through the square.
Yeah, there are these waves of people that would come through and just push you to the front and then they'd push you all to the back. And dude, I had times where my feet definitely were touching the ground and you're just kind of riding that wave of Basque country people that are going insane and chanting these lyrics. And it was a strange experience, but it was such a blast.
Oh, it was like the best music festival I've ever been to. But the band that was playing was like chefs playing drums with knives and forks. Yeah, and like, yeah. I didn't.
That's exactly how to describe it right there. It was a ton of fun. I don't know if you had anything else, any other like major thoughts from the festival itself.
Not so much. But I mean, one thing that did surprise me was that it lasted an hour. And that doesn't mean like there was like an hour long program where like they like talked about like, oh, like what this is. And like, no, it was just like intense music, like blaring music and people dancing like crazy for an hour straight.
Yeah. Like there was like no different pauses, like transitions between songs, but basically somebody would walk off and the next person would walk on, then just start jamming again and everyone's singing again. And it was.
Yeah. And the mayor was up on top above the stage with the flag, like throwing the flag up and down and everything. It was really cool just to see a whole town go together in something like this. Cause you know, I was being pushed around by like 70-year-olds who were like down here, like with bottles of beer, like drumming on stuff. And I was like, this is crazy.
it was pretty wild for sure. We tried to look into the history of Tamborada, and like you said earlier, Mason, it's pretty nuanced and it's not like a clear story of what exactly happened.
Yeah.
So the Wikipedia page said something about like there was a formal march where like at one point in history, soldiers would go through the town and then eventually people like kind of started making a parody of that and it turned into a festival, something like that. But it was not easy to figure out what exactly started Tamborada.
Whatever started it, I'm glad they did it because it's fun as hell time now. But
For sure. All right. So we had a bus that left at 6. So the festival goes from 12 to 1. And that means we got 5 hours to kill. And we did have VIP entrance to this club. So that was kind of where we ended up heading next.
We thought we had VIP entrance to this
That's
club.
Where things get a little bit interesting.
Okay, hold up. Now, for the next 15 minutes, Mason and I discussed some of the details of what occurred in the remainder of the night. Now, while it was an unforgettable night, for the sake of keeping it professional and also saving some time, we're going to move forward to the rest of the episode. But if you are planning on studying abroad, this is where you can use your imagination to fill in this gap with just a great night out with some friends. Alrighty, back to the episode.
So if you were going to recommend or just talk about Tamborada to somebody else and just the city of San Sebastian, what would you tell them? You say, go, don't go, do this. Like, what do you think you do in San Sebastian and in Tamborada?
Yeah, so I guess Tamborada specifically, I know a lot of people that showed up later, that got there around like 11 or midnight or something like that because they weren't on the same bus as us and they were like, celebration starts at midnight, like we're just going to be there for celebration. And I would definitely not do that. I would definitely go earlier like we did because I think, like I said, like probably one of my favorite parts of the night was just the lead up to it when we were going around eating all this amazing food. Like that's what it's known for.
Yeah.
You know, everything like that. So definitely do that. Although I was talking to some people as well, about what people had different plans than us. And I know a group of people that they also got an Airbnb that night. And so they just stayed the night, you know, like 5 or 6 or whatever Spanish people stopped partying. They went to their Airbnb and just slept, woke up at like noon the next day, had a good like half a day in San Sebastian, and then went home. I also thought that seemed like a really, really good idea because you got to like experience it more during the day and stuff like that. But
yeah, I would say you can't skip the early part because that was my favorite as well. Just like grabbing pinchos. We happened to have like an added bonus by meeting someone who was a pincho expert in San Sebastian. So that was awesome. But even if we didn't meet that guy, we would have had a phenomenal time just eating and drinking around San Sebastian. And like the excitement and energy leading up to the festival was super awesome. And then obviously you got to stay for the beginning of the festival and stuff like that. But I would have been totally cool jumping on a bus at like 1:30 or 2 and heading back and then calling it the night. But that's just me. If I didn't do that, I would take the option with the Airbnb. I think it would totally be worth, you know, however many euros you have to pay with a group to like
find a place. Yeah, it's never that expensive.
Yeah, it couldn't be that bad. So yeah, I can't say that I would recommend the 6 to 6 or whatever we did, like 8 to 6, because that was pretty
a long night.
Yeah. Like, it was brutal. The next day I slept.
I slept the entire next day. That's all I did. I was worthless.
Yeah. Me as well. All right, man. So I think that's about it for our experience going up to San Sebastian and being there for Tamborada. But I have a few questions for you before you leave.
Name on me.
All right. Wait, no, you haven't listened to the other things. These are going to be fresh questions, right?
Fresh questions. Yeah, no.
Good.
No.
That's what they're supposed to be. What's the favorite, like your favorite place you've ever visited and why?
Like in the entire world?
In the entire world. Yeah.
Oh shit. That's a hard question.
Supposed to be.
Okay. So I think my favorite place I've actually ever visited in the entire world is there's a little lake called Crater Lake, in Colorado in the Maroon Bells.
Okay.
It's just about a 3-mile hike from the parking lot. So it's like an easy day hike. But you can also camp out there, which not a lot of people know that. They do it for the day trips all the time, but you can also camp out there. And it is, I can't even describe it. Literally, I've seen a lot of pictures of it since I've been there, since I know what it looks like now, as like screensavers and like wallpapers and things like that. Because it's like, it's literally just one of those places. But I was lucky enough, me and my family went up there and we camped for the night. So during the day, it's kind of popular. There's people around and stuff like that. But in the mornings, I would wake up at like 6 or 7, right when the sun came up, you know, because I'm camping. And I would go down to this lake. And like I said, so like it's very picturesque. It's like the lake in a valley between like two mountains. But like not like there's mountains in the distance, like here in Pamplona. Like they're like there. You're like sitting between the mountains. It's nice. So freaking beautiful. So I'd wake up in the morning and go down to the lake and it would be, there'd be no one there. Like it would literally just be me out in the middle of nowhere. And I'd like make tea with my little camp stove and just like sit by the like lake. And like, that's how I started my day. Like for those few days that we were camping up there. And I don't know. That's just been like a really special place to me ever since then.
Nice. That's awesome. Now I want to go. It's called Crater Lake.
Yeah. Crater Lake in the Maroon Bells.
In the Maroon Bells. Okay. Yeah,
which are mountains that are just known in Colorado because they're like the rock that they're made out of like is maroon, which is like really weird to see, but it's really cool.
All right. Really cool. All right. Question number 2. What's one thing from your hometown that everyone does or has and people don't have elsewhere, but they should?
So does, I guess it was kind of like the thing we talked about. Talked about this before, but there's a place called Criders in Kerrville, Texas. Well, it's actually in Hunt, Texas, but it's like 25, 30 minutes out of Kerrville.
Okay.
And it's, so I'm going to preface this by saying like, I don't like country music. I don't. So
dude,
like,
you're allowed to like country music.
No, but you're also
allowed to not like country music.
not for a social, you know, show off sort of thing, but like, so what it is, Criders every Saturday night in the summer, this place called Criders, they have a rodeo and afterwards they have just dancing. They have a live band that comes every weekend, play on a stage. They have a big dance floor. It's like line dancing, two step, all that stuff. And everyone from like the around area goes because there's nothing else to do on a Saturday night there. Like it's a very small town. But I went a lot in high school and like I said, I don't like country music and it was still like, it was such a fun time.
Okay.
Like, every time, if you ever find yourself for some reason in Kerrville or Hunt in the summer. Oh yeah, we also, I worked at a kitchen around there as well. We'd always have international people that came and worked at the kitchen. And so for like a cultural experience, we'd take all them.
Yeah.
And so we'd have people from Colombia, Czech Republic, Poland, all these places there. And like, I never heard a bad thing about it. Like everyone I know that I've taken there's had a good time. So
that sounds awesome. So the rodeo and swing dance or line dance or two-step, whatever it's called, just the dance in Hunt, Texas.
In Hunt, Texas. Called Criders.
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 Okay, cool. I'll have to pay a visit. And then the last question, pretty similar, but on a deeper level, mm-hmm. what does your hometown or country value more than you feel the average person values?
Hmm. That's a tough one. I think one of the main things I came out of living in small town Texas valuing, as stereotypical as it is, it's just like, it's really weird because like people in Texas, you know, it's some sort of, not to generalize,
right,
but a
right.
lot of people in Texas, like the stereotypes about like, you know, like they don't believe in global warming and like things like that, like ring true a lot. But yet even for that, like a lot of people there just have like such a intense like appreciation for like the nature,
mm-hmm.
just because a lot of people there came from families who, you know, they made their whole living by the land, like they're ranchers or mm-hmm. farmers or something like that. So like without the land, like you have nothing. And I just remember I have a lot of memories being younger, just like being down by the river on just like a summer night or something like mm-hmm. that. And that was always like my favorite places to be. And whenever I can be somewhere that kind of reminds me of that, that's like when I'm most comfortable and things like that. So I just think it's in the summer in Kerrville, there's not much to do besides the river. And so everyone loves the river and it just comes to a point where it's almost like a more of an appreciation that I feel like people, at least people in like cities and things like that don't have as much.
For sure. All right, man. Thank you for being on Student Visa.
It was an honor. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty of more trips in the future that maybe we'll get a chance to talk about. But yeah, thanks for coming on the show. It was awesome. Peace.
See you later.
All right, folks, thank you for tuning into this episode. That wraps it up this week. Please be sure to tune in next week because I got something exciting planned. I'm pumped about it. Also, like I said at the beginning of the episode, reach out to me and let me know what you want to hear. You can do that on social media, studentvisa.podcast on Facebook and Instagram, or if you're on rsolaski.com/studentvisa, you can easily write a message at the bottom of the blog post where this podcast is also posted. With that, guys, go out and enjoy this week. We got a little bit of rain in Pamplona this week, but you know, it's all about your attitude, right? So yeah, let's have a killer week, and I'll catch you next time on Student Visa.